This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, rock and rollers. It's that time again as your reader, Dennis Pratt, takes you behind.
Cover of the Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover.
Stone.
Today I continue reading from the April edition of Rolling Stone magazine that featured on the cover Peso Pluma, and the subtopic of this issue is called The Future of Music. So let's start with an article that talks about music's future. The headline says, Inside the Startup Creating a Chat GPT for Music, and this is written by Brian Hyatt. I'm just a soul trapped in this circuitry. The voice singing those lyrics is raw and plaintive, dipping into blue notes. A lone acoustic guitar chugs behind it, punctuating the vocal phrases and tasteful runs. But there's no human behind the voice, no hands on the guitar. There is, in fact, no guitar. In the space of 15 seconds, this credible, even moving, blues song was generated by the latest AI model from a startup named Suno. And that is spelled S-U-N-O. All it took to summon it from the void was a simple text prompt. Quote, solo acoustic Mississippi Delta blues about a sad AI, end quote. To be maximally precise, the song is the work of two AI models in collaboration. Suno's model creates all the music itself, while calling on OpenAI's ChatGPT to generate the lyrics and even a title. The title is Soul of the Machine. Online, Suno's creations are starting to generate reactions like, how the fuck is this real? As this particular track plays over a Sonos speaker in Suno's temporary headquarters, steps away from the Harvard campus in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Even some of the people behind the technology are ever so slightly unnerved. There's some nervous laughter, alongside murmurs of, holy shit, and oh boy. It's mid-February, and we're playing with their new model, V3, which is still a couple of weeks from public release. In this case, it took only three tries to get that startling result. The first two were decent, but a simple tweak to my prompt, co-founder Keenan Freyberg suggested adding the word Mississippi, resulted in something far more uncanny. Over the past year alone, generative AI has made major strides in producing credible text, images, and even video, particularly with OpenAI's new Sora tool, that's spelled S-O-R-A. But audio and music in particular has lagged. Suno appears to be cracking the code to AI music, and its founders' ambitions are nearly limitless. They imagine a world of widely democratized music making. The most vocal of the co-founders, Mickey Schulman, a boyishly charming, backpack-toting, 37-year-old with a Harvard PhD in physics, envisions a billion people worldwide paying $10 a month to create songs with Suno. The fact that music listeners so vastly outnumber music makers at the moment is so lopsided, he argues, seeing Suno as poised to fix that perceived imbalance. Most AI-generated art so far is, at best, kitsch. a la the hyper-realistic sci-fi junk that so many Midjourney users seem intent on generating. But Soul of the Machine feels like something different. The most powerful and unsettling AI creation I've encountered in any medium. Its very existence feels like a fissure in reality. At once awe-inspiring and vaguely unholy, and I keep thinking of the Arthur C. Clarke quote that seems made for the generative AI era. Quote, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, end quote. A few weeks after returning from Cambridge, I send the song off to Living Color guitarist Vernon Reed, who's been outspoken about the perils and possibilities of AI music. He notes his, quote, wonder, shock, horror, end quote, at the song's disturbing verisimilitude, the long-running dystopian ideal of separating difficult, messy, undesirable, and despised humanity from its creative output is at hand. He writes, pointing out the problemic nature of a AI singing the blues. Quote, an African-American idiom deeply tied to historical human trauma and enslavement, end quote. Suno is barely 2 years old. Co-founders Shulman, Freiberg, George Cusco, and Martin Comancho, all machine learning experts, worked together until 2022 at another Cambridge company, Kensho Technologies, which focus on finding AI solutions to complex business problems. Shulman and Camacho are both musicians who used to jam together in their Kensho days. At Kensho, the foursome worked on a transcription technology for capturing public companies' earnings calls, a tricky task given the combination of poor audio quality, abundant jargon, and various accents. Along the way, Shulman and his colleagues fell in love with the unexplored possibilities of AI audio. In AI research, he says, quote, audio in general is so far behind images and text. There's so much that we learn from the text community and how these models work and how they scale, end quote. The same interest could have led Suno's founders to a very different place, though they always intended to end up with a music product. Their earliest brainstorming included an idea for a hearing aid and even the possibility of finding malfunctioning machinery through audio analysis. Instead, their first release was a text-to-speech program called BARK. When they surveyed early BARK users, it became clear that what they really wanted was a music generator. Quote, so we started to run some initial experiments, and they seemed promising, end quote, Shulman says. Suno uses the same general approach as large language models like ChatGPT. But audio, particularly music, is almost unfathomably more complex, which is why, as recently as last year, AI music experts told Rolling Stone that a service as capable as Suno's might take years to arrive. Audio is not a discrete thing like words, Shulman says. It's a wave. It's a continuous signal. High-quality audio's sampling rate is generally 44 kilohertz or 48 hertz, which means 48,000 tokens a second. That's a big problem, right? And so you need to figure out how to kind of smosh that down to something more reasonable. How, though? A lot of work, a lot of heuristics, a lot of other kinds of tricks and models and stuff like that. I don't think we're anywhere close to done. Eventually, Suno wants to move past the text-to-music interface and onto more advanced and intuitive inputs. Generating songs based on users' own singing is one idea. OpenAI faces lawsuits over ChatGPT's use of books, news articles, and other copyrighted materials in its vast corpus of training data. Suno's founders declined to reveal details of just what data they're shoveling into their own model, other than the fact that its ability to generate convincing human vocals comes in part because it's learning from recordings of speech in addition to music. Quote, "Naked speech will help you learn the characteristics of human voice that are difficult," Schulman says. One of Suno's earliest investors is Antonio Rodriguez, a partner at the venture capital firm Matrix. Rodriguez had only funded one previous music venture, the music categorization firm Echo Nest, which was purchased by Spotify to fuel its algorithm. With Suno, Rodriguez got involved before it was even clear what the product would be. "I backed the team," says Rodriguez, who exudes the confidence of a man who's made more than his share of successful bets. "I'd known the team, and I'd especially known Mickey, and so I would have backed him to do almost anything that was legal. He's that creative." Rodriguez is investing in Suno with the full knowledge that labels and publishers could sue, which he sees as, quote, "the risk we had to underwrite when we invested in the company, because we're the fat wallet that will get sued right behind these guys. Honestly, if we had deals with labels when this company got started, I probably wouldn't have invested in it. I think that they needed to make this product without the constraints," end quote. A spokesperson for Universal Music Group, which has taken an aggressive stance on AI, didn't return a request for a comment. Suno says it's in communication with the major labels and professes respect for artists and intellectual property. Its tool won't allow you to request any specific artist's styles in your prompts and doesn't use real artists' voices. The founders evince none of the open hostility to the music business that characterized, say, Napster before the lawsuits that destroyed it. "It doesn't mean we're not going to get sued, by the way," Rodriguez adds. "It just means that we're not going to have, like, fuck the police kind of attitude." Rodriguez sees Suno as a radically capable and easy-to-use musical instrument and believes it could bring music making to everyone, much the way camera phones and Instagrams democratize photography. "The idea," he says, "is to once again move the bar on the number of people that are allowed to be creators of stuff as opposed to consumers of stuff on the internet." He and the founders dare to suggest that Suno could attract a user base bigger than Spotify's. If that prospect is hard to get your head around, that's a good thing, Rodriguez says. It only means it's seemingly stupid, in the exact way that tends to attract him as an investor. "All of our great companies have the combination of excellent talent," he says, "and then something that just seems stupid until it's so obvious that it's not stupid." Well before Suno's arrival, musicians, producers, and songwriters were vocally concerned about AI's business-shaking potential. Quote, "Music as made by humans, driven by extraordinary circumstances, those who have suffered and struggled to advance their craft will have to contend with the wholesale automation of the very dear bought art they have fought to achieve. End quote, Reed writes. But Suno's founders claim there's little to fear. They use the metaphor that people still read despite having the ability to write. The way we think about this is we're trying to get a billion people much more engaged with music than they are now, Schulman says. If people are much more into music, much more focused on creating, developing much more distinct tastes, this is obviously good for artists. The vision that we have of the future of music is one where it's artist-friendly. We're not trying to replace artists. Though Suno is hyper-focused only on reaching music fans who want to create songs for fun, it could still end up causing significant disruption along the way. In the short term, the segment of the market for human creators that seems most directly endangered is a lucrative one. Songs created for ads and even TV shows. Lucas Keller, founder of the management firm Milk and Honey, notes that the market for placing well-known songs will remain unaffected. But in terms of the rest of it, yeah, it could definitely put a dent in their business, he says. I think that ultimately it allows a lot of ad agencies, film studios, networks, etc. to not have to go license stuff. In the absence of strict rules against AI-created content, there's also the prospect of a world where users of models like Suno's flood streaming services with their robo-creations by the millions. Spotify may one day say, you can't do that, Schulman says, noting that so far Suno users seem more interested in just texting their songs to a few friends. Suno's biggest potential competitor so far seems to be Google's Dream Track, which has obtained licenses that allows users to make their own songs using famous voices, like Charlie Puth's, via a similar prompt-based interface. But Dream Track has only been released to a tiny test user base, and the samples released so far aren't nearly as impressive sounding as Suno's. Despite the famous voices attached, quote, I just don't think that, like, making new Billy Joel songs is how people want to react with music with the help of AI in the future, end quote, Schulman says. If I think about how we actually want people doing music in 5 years, it's stuff that doesn't exist. It's the stuff that's in their head. And that's the end of this article. Our next article, that's about the future of music, starts with the headline, The Future of Underground Rap is Extremely Online. TikTok infamy is just the tip of the iceberg for three teenagers at the vanguard of today's hip-hop. And this is written by Hattie Lindert. By the time you figure out where a song by New York rapper and producer Xavier Obast is coming from, it's usually already over. On 2021's, quote, 115 and LSD, which the 20-year-old cites as a creative breakthrough in his music, he builds up a cacophony of exotic bird whistles, overlapping hums, overheard yells, exploding machine gun shells, and blown out 808s across just 2 minutes. Xavier's songs often repeat halfway through at double speed. His voice tumbles through verses about twerking and trapping and blunt toking and Xbox. His song, On My Own, from his recent mixtape, Keep It Going, Zav, turns raw feedback into the bass below a never quite conclusive loop of beeps. The deep tones and danceable hi-hats forming an atmosphere as casual as it is intricate. Xavier has established himself as the eyes and ears of a movement bubbling through two other teenage talents, the soulful Alabama warbler Wihapo JJ, 20 years old, who favors a hazy trap-influenced sound and gothic image crafted with help from an online artist friend based in Czech Republic, and Fresh Face Firebrand, Netspend, who's 16 years old, whose foxish European features are usually half concealed under a swoop of ice blonde hair that recalls spiritual ancestor Justin Bieber, as much as rock god Kurt Cobain. Xavier, Wihap, and Net have been posited at the event horizon of so-called mumble rap, and the first chairs in a rowdy orchestra of a new SoundCloud-born hero somewhere between the likes of Little Uzi Vert and the late Little Peep. Although their music crams in plenty of Gen Z beckoning references, SpongeBob and Twilight and photo booth selfies of tweens with heat-straightened hair, none of these artists are making music exclusively for kids. Just look at the all-ages mix of attention they get, from terminally online kids cutting together videos with their music, scrupulous A&Rs with the Right For You pages, and New York Times writers clued into this phenomenon alike. But the music has an undeniably hold on a younger demographic, often playing a role in helping teens, however crudely, process a world that can be extremely bleak. One of Xavier's most popular TikTok snippets blew up when it became the song du jour for a trend called the Fent Stance, where users assumed the buckle pose, all too familiar these days as an effect of the deadly synthetic drug supercharging the modern opioid epidemic. Funny it isn't plainly indicative of modern coping mechanisms toward societal ills, it is. Xavier, who began producing before he settled on his hypnotic flow, finds the bones of his beats everywhere, from windows, power-up noises to snippets of hubbub he catches on city streets. As a producer, he's gifted at giving his laid-back tales a feeling of drama. A song about a vibrator crescendos euphoric layers of piano worthy of any blockbuster romance kiss. He says he tends to work spontaneously, something Wihap and Net each echo. Net likes to pull up the production software, Band Lab, wherever he is, so he can go to town without losing momentum. Instead of thinking of it and writing it down, Xavier expands, I'll think of it and do it. Many of the trio's songs have gone viral on TikTok, the app of choice for a post-internet generation accustomed to a world where seconds-long videos can loop forever. The passing head rush of popular sounds like Xavier's Patchmade, Wihap's Jetlag, and Net's We Not Like You sets the scene for skate tricks, fit pics, and front camera goofing. A few scroll downs, the videos lean even further into shitpost modernism. Vividly fried smash cuts of the rappers dancing at shows or on Instagram, like interwoven with dance duets with AI roaches and Roblox streams. It is all extremely online, and both Xavier and YHAP say they don't see a huge difference between finding a kindred spirit via DM or in person, as long as they're able to catch the right vibe through a well-placed sample or killer mem. Sometimes the invisible string of the activity-based algorithm is exactly what makes the right collaborator feel like a stroke of magic. Quote, it's like, I don't know you and you don't know me, but we found each other through this thing called the internet, and now we're making music together that our fans love. YHAP says, it's a great feeling. Born and raised on the Upper West Side, Xavier is quicker to call his music New York shit than any of the various subgenres it's been categorized under online. His family has been in the city since the 1970s, when his mom's side emigrated from the Dominican Republic. Xavier and his older brother, Alexander, will be visiting later this year to walk her down the aisle when she weds her partner of 12 years in Dahira. Xavier's mom, Evelyn, began working as a house DJ in the 1980s, spinning smooth electronic blends of techno and popular rap for decades at parties throughout Manhattan. That meant there was production software on the family computer from the time Xavier could reach the mouse. Sitting around a table of fajitas on the Lower East Side with Indahira and Xavier, Evelyn pulls up a home video on Facebook that depicts two of Xavier's cousins leaning up against a table stacked with her decks, rapping into corded microphones. A six-year-old Xavier bobs in and out of frame, twisting his head, hands, and shoulders with focus, far less interested in showboating than riding his own wave. She recalls being confused by a song Xavier said inspired him to make music because the vocalist wasn't rapping on beat. That's what's cool about it, she remembers him explaining. YHOP JJ grew up in Huntsville, Alabama, a childhood soundtrack by his mother, curated mix of Tony Braxton, Tracy Chapman, Rich Homie Quan, and Young Thug. But more than anything, it was the way Queen's Freddie Mercury could conduct a roaring crowd that made him want to try music himself at age 15. While he says he only freestyles off the dome, not writing ahead of time, doesn't mean he's not thoughtful about his subdued yet sonorous style. His most streamed song, 10, is a soft and fuzzy loop dotted with laughs and cheers as he muses softly, I got my blunt and I'm right next to you. Last December, at YHAP's first performance with Xavier in New York, eager fans overran the venue, scaling fire escapes and breaking apart a full-body metal detector before the show was called off, then revived at a Lower East Side skate park. The chaos of his concert lives in the blogosphere, history books now. It was also around the same time that Xavier introduced YHAP to Nets music, amid a sea of imitation rage rappers and post-hyperpop monotony. Something stood out to Xavier about the Richmond, Virginia's teenagers' demon-spawned stylings. Well, there's more to this article, but I don't have more time to read it. So please join me next week at the same time as we once again go behind.
Cover of the Rolling Stone. On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, see my picture.
I don't know why we ain't on the cover, baby. We're beautiful fellas. I ain't kidding you. Oh, we would make a beautiful cover. A front shot. Right up front, man. I can see it now. We'd be on the front smiling, man. Oh. Beautiful.